Again, I welcome all of our listeners, our parishioners, and our friends. This gospel we just heard from the 20th chapter of John is a gospel we hear every single Easter Sunday morning. Isn't it maybe the most important gospel reading ever? We learn so much about the resurrection of Jesus in these 9 verses. And it's a story, as I thought this morning, it's a story we need in our lives today. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb while it was still dark. And she saw that the stone was removed. So many things happen in our lives of significance in darkness. First of all, our Lord was born in darkness. The Bible tells us that the shepherds were watching their sheep at night when the angels came. When our Lord was crucified, darkness covered the land. And he rose from the dead while it was still dark on this early Easter morning. And there's darkness in our lives right now. There's darkness in our country right now. We need our Lord's light more than ever. But I want all of you to remember that on that first Easter morning, the followers of Jesus were in their homes like you are now. So Mary Magdalene ran to the home where Peter and John were and told them that the body's been stolen. We don't know where they put him. So Peter and John have a lot of energy. Something's not right. The tomb's been sealed. It had a guard. How can the stone be removed? So they run to the tomb. Now, we always thought that between the two, John and Peter, Peter would be the older one. And Peter would be the one with authority. And that's how this played out. The younger disciple, John, arrives at the tomb first. But he does not go in. He peeks in and sees the wrappings. He waits for the elder authority figure. Peter arrives. Peter goes into the tomb. He not only sees the wrappings, he sees what the Bible says is more wrappings rolled up in a place by itself. Then John has the courage to go into the tomb, and then John is given the gift of belief because Peter gave him that courage. In our Catholic tradition today, the successor of Saint Peter, our Holy Father, gives us courage to enter into the world, the life of the Church. And the Spirit of the Church gives us that gift to believe. So, what is significant in this story? When John wrote this gospel, is what they saw in the wrappings. What is significant is that the dead body of Jesus was swiftly dematerialized in the resurrection. The decomposing dead body of our Lord was raised. It became mechanically transparent, and it left the wrappings just as they were put on the body. The wrappings passed through the body, being resurrected. The Bible then also tells us that Peter saw something different. Peter saw the wrappings for our Lord's head. They were rolled up in a separate place by itself. And they were lying where our Lord's head would have been in the tomb, on a slightly raised ledge, where our Lord's body would have been laid, where his head would have been laid on that ledge. And the cloth kept its circular shape, just as the head was wrapped separately from the wrappings of the body. John is telling us this, that the resurrected body of Jesus had been transformed into a spiritual body. John is telling us this. Jesus did not take his wrappings off. The resurrection left them. As our Lord's body became mechanically transparent, the cloth collapsed. Remember, Mary of Magdala did not see the cloths. She only saw that the stone had been moved and concluded that someone took the body. Our Lord's body could not have been stolen. Robbers do not unwrap a dead body before they steal it. And if they do, robbers don't take the time to fold those wrappings again. Remember how Lazarus came out of his tomb, wrapped from head to toe with his wrappings, like a mummy. Lazarus came out with his wrappings because he would die again. He would need them again. Our Lord left his wrappings because he would never die again. He is resurrected. This resurrection is not symbolic. It is real, it is mysterious, and it is promised to us. In the next days and weeks, we're going to listen to my favorite stories of the Gospels, where our Lord appears to his disciples and many others. This resurrected body of Jesus can pass through doors, but it can eat fish. Our Lord's resurrected body can disappear and appear in groups of people, but one can also put his or her hands in the wounds. Our Lord will carry his wounds for all eternity, and we pour our lives into them. This event changed the world, and as we are all in our homes, we're in our home here too, we live just right next door, we have the same joy, perhaps a little bit of the same fear, but the same promise. Saint Paul wrote this: if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, we're not fools for Christ. We are just plain fools. But he lives. I always thought of what I just told you, the story of the resurrection. I always thought that the resurrection is an event of the past that I need to remember. But really, the resurrection is a person with whom I need a relationship. Remember, Jesus himself said, I am the resurrection. He is the resurrection. He lives. He appeared to his followers to form the church. And he comes to us today in so many ways. And I think one of the ways he comes to us at this time is to bring us peace, to bring us courage, like John had to enter the tomb, and to bring us the gift to believe. My dear people, the resurrection of our Lord is not a part of our faith. It is our faith. My prayer for you, as I offer this Mass for you, is that with God's grace, we will receive a deeper relationship with that person, Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life. He is risen. He is risen indeed.